We want to thank you for listening today. This audio sermon is a ministry of Faith Baptist Church, a place where you belong. Now let's listen to the message of truth from God's Word.
All right, I heard this. I don't know who said it. So like the Marines have this little thing they do. And if I get it wrong, I got some Marines that are going to correct me. But is it oorah? Is that what you guys say? Is that right? That's like the English way to pronounce it. That's all proper. Like oorah, right? But you say it right. And the Army says hua. And I learned that now very well. I don't know what the Air Force says. Somebody said that they said, wee. I don't know if that's true. I don't know. But that's what I heard. And I don't know what the Navy says. I have no idea what the Navy says. Mike, can you help me out with the Navy? Woo. Yeah. Yeah. They say other things. We won't talk about that. So I know all of you branches love to pick on each other, but you guys all got each other's backs, and you work well together, and I appreciate those. I don't know what the Coast Guard says, yippee, I'm not sure, but as you know, my dad probably would have finished his career in the military, but how many of you know sometimes God has other plans for you, and sometimes those plans are painful, and he had a hip surgery that went south, and they totally botched the surgery and caused a lot of pain and discomfort, to which he is still struggling with to this day. But after a long period, they finally discharged him, and that was God's route to get him into the ministry. And so he transitioned from the military really into the ministry many, many years ago now, and served our country and did lots of really cool things. Someday I'll have to share what some of those are, some really amazing things. But I wanted him to come tonight and share a little bit about being a veteran and what that looks like and what that means, not only from his perspective, but really from the biblical perspective. And so I'm going to ask him to come. Would you welcome him as he comes tonight?
All right. Thanks, Todd. I'm going to have a talk with would be we service. The last song we'd sing in the Air Force would be we. I was going to ask what branch of the service people were in, and I was going to start from the strongest to the smartest, and you got that. Anyhow, I just want to say to our vets, I know what you know, what it means to be a vet. And I salute you. Let's take our Bibles tonight, head over to Galatians chapter 6, verse 17 and through 18. When your pastor asked me to bring a message, he said, now, Dad, he said, I don't want you to talk about death and gloomy things. he said, I want you to talk about the living vet and what it's like to be a vet. And as he said, he wanted me to tailor this towards a veteran in the faith also. So I have written a message tonight that I've entitled, How to Recognize a Veteran. I want to read a verse to you, these two verses in Galatians chapter 6, 17 and 18. We'll go to prayer, and then after that, I'll share with you some thoughts on being a veteran. Galatians chapter 6, verse 17 and 18, Paul now has paid a big price, a harsh price for the faith. He's closing out the book to Galatia. And he could have said anything to the church. But notice very carefully what he would tell the church in his closing comments as he would finish penning this letter to the churches in Galatia. This is Galatians chapter 6 and verse 17. From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Be with your spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank you tonight for our country. I thank you for those who have served, are serving, those tonight who find themselves in harm's way. And Lord, we thank you for this great country. And we know that freedom comes at a price. And tonight as we open the scriptures, I pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit will lift these words off the pages of the Bible and so implant them into our hearts that we too one day will be recognized as a veteran in the faith. Bless the preaching of the gospel now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There's one thing I've often noticed as a preacher, your pastor will tell you this, when you bring something up that nobody can see, everybody gets curious. There's only two people in the auditorium know what I brought with me tonight. And I want to talk to you tonight about something that I heard being advertised on the radio. I love listening to the radio more than the television. And Walmart is offering a light bulb. It costs 95 cents. It's a green light bulb. Anybody know anything about it? Some of you. Yeah, I noticed coming in tonight there were several people have bought these lights. And the light is very important because what Walmart is trying to do is they're trying to highlight the veteran. And their thought is this, if you watch the commercial carefully, and listen to it, it says, you know, the veteran, once they leave the military, are very hard to identify. And you can't tell a veteran by looking at them. But what you can do is you can buy a light. And by buying this light and putting it in your door, in your house, you're recognizing our veterans. And you recognize their service for our country. And I would suspect probably in years to come this will become a very popular thing. It took me, I was telling Todd, several these lights. And when I told the lady in Walmart last night, I went out looking again. And by the way, you don't go into Walmart unless you are a war vet, that's for sure. And and I tell you what, I've seen some scary things in that place. And now I know why the military had curfews. And really, on the box, which you'll find, if you can find one of these lights, a lady I was searching for me, she said, boy, we're out of them. She said, people were in here. She said they were looking for flashlights with little green lights. And but I found them anyhow last night. And by the way, here's the light. This is what it looks like for you geniuses. And she told me, she said, they're over there. You know, she just followed me over there. She was so glad to let me pick this light out. But I noticed on the box it said this. It says, America, help us shine light on our veterans. Help us to recognize our veterans. Now, it's interesting because the color green is just not a cami color or a color that they picked because it was green. If you read about it, it symbolizes hope and well-being. Stop and think about it. Hope and well-being. Now, let me ask you a question tonight. If you're saved, and you've been saved for any amount of time, you're a veteran of the faith. Would you agree with that? Say amen. Now, my question to all of us tonight is this. Are you hope to someone? Does someone look at you and say, there goes a Christian? I can tell that they're a Christian. You can't always tell a veteran. By the way, we have an issue with gravity the older we get. We have a problem keeping our... Some of you are helping and everything else. But some of you are helping God when he counts your hair, man. Anyhow, here it is. I'm going to give you some five thoughts tonight on how you can identify a Christian who's a veteran of the faith. By the way, I will say this. Most veterans will tell you immediately they can spot another veteran. You don't have to say a word. They know there's something there. I grew up and spent 18 years in a children's home. I can tell a kid that's been in a children's home just like that. I can tell military people just like that. And here's how you recognize them. And probably what you ought to do tonight and I ought to do tonight is ask ourselves this question. Am I identifiable? Is there enough things going on in my life that without a word being said, someone could identify me? I've often said this in Christianity, there's no 007s. We don't have secret agents. We are to be the light of the world. If you have a handout tonight, here it is. The first thing you'll notice about a veteran is they bear the scars of war. They bear the scars of war. When you find a true veteran in the faith, I'm here to tell you, they've got scars. And you can see their scars. You can see that they've been in combat. You can see that things aren't well always with them. By the way, if you really want to see what the price of freedom looks like, go to the veteran hospital. Just go to the veteran hospital if you want to see what the real price of freedom looks like. Here Paul is writing to the church at Galatia, and he says, listen, from henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. I bear these marks, these physical marks, and some life may not be physical, but there are definitely mental things that have been affected in our life. Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, and this is what he said to the church. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thence was I beaten with a rod. Once was I stoned. Thence I suffered shipwreck. A night, a day, I've been in the dark, in the deep. In journeys, often in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness, in painfulness, in watching, often in hunger and thirst, in fasting, often in cold and nakedness. There's the scars. I've never even told my son what I'm going to tell you. I was drafted into the military, and I was fortunate to have a professor that was a retired colonel, and I had a draft deferment. I was going to college. Nixon decided there'd be no more draft deferments. And my colonel somehow got the inside story on it. He called me in. He said, Tom, you're going to be drafted into the Army tomorrow. We already know the list is down. He said, if you want to go into the Air Force, he said, you're going to have to do exactly what I tell you, and you're going to have to do it exactly right now. He said, you got about 5 minutes to make your mind up. I'll make a phone call. Well, I didn't know much about the Air Force. I knew a lot about the Army because for another day, I'll tell you some stories about friends I lost. But I can tell you that I joined the Air Force. And in my mind, I thought there was only five or six airplanes. When I went to Lackland Air Force Base, I was shocked by all the people. When I went to Shepherd and to training. But I want to tell you something. Our barracks was alongside of what then they would call base ops. And when I was in training. And across the street, the airplanes would come in. And I soon noticed that when a particular flight would come in, people would run across the street and stand there. And I remember being in my room one day. And I remember a guy yelling up the steps, they're landing! Let's go! So me, a young dumb airman, I just ran with everybody. And then rolls in this 141. And the back door is open. And soon a 19-year-old boy had tears in his eyes. As I saw the wounded coming off the airplanes from Vietnam, some of them came back in cases because they had no arms or legs. I saw mom and pop standing there for the first time trying to pick out who their son was. This is when our government didn't care about our military. And I'd see him standing there. And the ambulance would roll up to the back door and take him out. And that never left me. That's freedom. That's the price. We'll sit in this church tonight and we'll be thankful for what has done for us. But let me tell you something, folks. There are by the hundreds veterans are laying in hospitals tonight that no one cares for, will never leave, have bared the marks of war, will never walk, never talk. And Paul said, listen, I've been stoned. When's the last time somebody even told you off? When's the last time we ever put ourselves in a position to where somebody said, hey, don't mess with them. They'll take you on. You see, here's the thing. Here's the truth. Not always be able to pick out a veteran, a military veteran. But here's the truth. You should always be able to pick out a veteran of the faith. Always. Irregardless. And so they bear the scars. They've been in the wars. You know, some of our missionaries throughout the world, they're paying a price. Some are in jail. I pray for Saeed. I don't know if you know him. He's in jail in Iran. They're using him as a political pawn. Children write the President of the United States, the World Council, please let our dad come home. Where's the prayer in the church? Where's the combative spirit in prayer? Number two, they understand duty. Every soldier understands duty. You don't make it if you don't. I remember when I went in the Air Force. One time I asked a question and the TI said to me, said, Adams, if the Air Force wanted you to think, they'd give you a brain. You learn duty. You understand duty. You understand what it is that you're supposed to do. You know, I don't think until you grow to a certain stage in Christianity that you really understand duty. Here it is laid out for us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 14 and 15. For the love of Christ constraineth us. Well, it means it compels us. Because we thus judge that if one died for all, then all are dead. Here it comes in verse 15. And that he died for all, that they which live should not live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. A veteran of the faith is living for Christ. A veteran of the faith understands the price that has been paid. Perhaps one of Moses' disciples in the great hall of faith in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 11, comes this by way of Moses. Listen to this about Moses. It says, by faith, Moses, he was come of years, refused to be called the sons of Pharaoh's daughter. Listen, this guy had the world by the tail. He probably would have had enough money in Vietnam to buy his way out of going into the military. This is what it says. Choosing rather to suffer the afflictions with the people of God than enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. Here it is. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Here's Moses. He steps out and he says, listen, I know what the call of duty means. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. Moses didn't go around it the right way at first. He killed some guy and thought, man, I'm the king of the hill. No, he got chased out of town. God had to put him on the backside of the desert for a while, and he come out a real changed man. By the way, the military will change you. Anybody in the military, I tell you, they'll change you. Like your pastor said the other day, I've heard this before. I people say, listen, they're rebellious and they're going to go into the Marine Corps. That's crazy. We had two guys in our church, and we tried going to the Army. Man, they're going to do everything from the Army. Man, I never seen two whip boys come back from the basic training. They're going to change you. But they're going to make you into something. You're going to understand duty. You know why a veteran stands his feet and salutes the flag? Because it's duty. The reason he'll go to a memorial service, it's duty. You don't have to ask him, it's duty. And as God's people, we have a duty. The veteran Christian, you see his commitment to duty. When you look at him, you say, listen, there's a vet. They know exactly what's going on, or they're committed. I wonder tonight, how committed are we? I remember when I was in basic training, And I remember they said, you make a bed this way, and you do this, and you do this, and you do that. And the TI said, if you know, he said, we're going to rip your bed apart and throw it out the door. But after about five times, you get the message. When you go to tech school, they say you flunk twice, you're out. In the Air Force, it's two and out. There's no three turnarounds, nothing. You're out. Duty. When they tell you to be at work at 7 o'clock, it's not 7:05. Duty. And they tell you we got to stay and work a 12-hour shift because we got things going over the Atlantic that require attention. Duty. You don't turn around to the boss and say, man, I think I got a headache. I'm going home. I'll tell you what home you'll go to, a place called Leavenworth. In God's economy, it's called the backside of the desert. And some of us don't have duty. We don't understand duty. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one toward another. Duty. Pastors shouldn't have to stand up and beg for workers and beg for this and beg for that. In the military, they don't beg for nothing. They say, Adams, sir, pack your bags. You're going off today. Yes, sir. And they leave it to you to go home and tell your wife, you're gone. Listen, I want to tell you something. It wasn't the smartest thing I ever did. I got notified to go to Zaragoza, Spain. We were using Spain as a bombing range. And because of the winters were severe and Germany was easier to fly the fighters down there and the ones that needed qualification and do the bombing range down there. And so I went home and told my wife, I said, Marge, I've got to go TDY to Spain. She said, what? Yeah. When I was in Germany, I made $250 a month. Had no car. My wife was pregnant. I didn't go into the commander and said, you know, I need some family time here. I never heard of such an excuse in a church, family time. Take it out somewhere else. Go to your job and tell them that. Say, man, I didn't want to hear that. Well, God don't like hearing it either. And so I took off and I come back and, man, my wife is, and she's out waiting at the steps for me. And she said, I looked at her and said, what happened to you? Well, it wasn't exactly a warm homecoming. But you see, on Sunday, your pastor showed a film. I've seen that so many times. Saying goodbye. I've seen the kids. Todd, were you still with us when they took off and they went to Iraq? When they went to Afghanistan? No, I mean, to get Gaddafi and those guys. We went on the backside of the runway. We were over there by the hundreds. Got the call, the jets are going. They're all fired up. Man, get over to Lake and Heath. They're going. And so I got Marge and I got the kids. And I said, let's go. They're going. Boy, you could hear them firing up. You know, the farmers in England used to complain. They used to say, man, that jet fuel stinks. I said, no, that's a smell of freedom. And we went over there. And boy, there the families were. Stuff you don't see in the news here. They're waving the flag. They're coming out in three ship formations, loaded to the gill, man the runway. You can hear the call from the tower. They go. There's a wife standing there. There's your husband. There's your daddy. Wave to daddy. There he goes. And I can tell you that I was the point that many a pilot, if there was a death, I was the one. That many a pilot had my name on to be notified to go tell the family. Thank God I didn't have to do that. Duty. Duty. That's what makes America a great military. Duty, they understand duty. Todd was saying on Sunday, he was watching Mikey standing at attention and listening. Yeah, we all like that. We like that. You look at that and go, yeah. I remember when he graduated basic training. Boom, 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 boom. And I'm thinking, boy, I'm glad that's not me anymore. Where's your duty? Huh? If you wore a uniform, what kind of rank would you have? Thank God we don't have rank. We'd walk around puffed up. Here's a third one. They're disciplined. See, a veteran is disciplined in two ways. The first thing is he is disciplined in his body. In the military, they look very unkindly on you if you get out of shape. If you can't push away from the table, they're going to push you away from the military. Here's what Paul said. But I keep under my body, and I bring it in subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway after I've done the things of God, because I refuse to keep my body into subjection, that God says, I can't use you. Discipline. You have to discipline your eyes. You got to discipline where you go. I determined when I went into the ministry that I would not stand up and tell people the do's and don'ts and where to go. That's what you have a Holy Spirit for. A lot of kids, a lot of young guys from our church wound up going to college, and he used to ask me, am I called to preach? I said, I don't know. You got to ask God. But you got to be disciplined. Well, I like this one. You know, I'm glad I can say this stuff tonight. I'm not in the pastorate anymore. Oh, you know what it's like. We just couldn't get up for church. Like, no, I don't know that. Well, you know how it is. You know, we've been serving God so long. Oh, really? See, in the military, they have this thing. They go into the danger zone. If you have a GI over in England, we'd have them for about 36 months or 42, 48 months. The first 6 months, they were getting their head around the fact that they were in England. The last 6 months, once they got their notification, they quit. Now, they'd come to church, but a lot of them would quit serving, wouldn't they, Todd? They would just quit, and I used to have to beat them over the head all the time. You serve until God calls you home. It's not an option. They'd leave Sunday school classes without a teacher. And I'd have to go to them and say, hey, what's wrong? Well, you can't go to work and do that. Well, this isn't the Air Force. I'd say, listen, this is a higher call than the Air Force. We let our body talk to us. You know, I've never seen so many Christians. They don't need the Holy Spirit. They just listen to their flesh. I like this one. I feel this. Really? Really? That's an interesting, you know, doctrine. I don't feel a whole lot of things I do for God. It's not about what I feel. It's about discipline. You got to discipline yourself. Not only do they discipline their body, but they discipline their mind. There is nothing like a disciplined mind in the military. For some years, I worked with the SR-71 program. And the way it worked is we'd put two tankers up in the air. They had to be in position, at least SR-71 couldn't take, before the SR-71 took off. If those two airplanes weren't in the air, the SR-71 couldn't take off, because as soon as that thing got airborne, it bled everything it had. It had to take on fuel. Immediately after that, we'd have to put up four more tankers. Those tankers would have to sit in the air the entire flight, waiting for the SR-71 to make a decision. It'd fly at 39, 40-some thousand feet. And when that thing would start circling down, it had to do that to cool down. By the way, I can tell you, I know for a fact, we had the Russians by the tail. They couldn't shoot us. They couldn't hit us. And by the time they pulled that trigger, SR-71 would go, psh, and it'd be 200 miles away. But it was critical. It was so critical that when we would get ready to launch, the wing commander, the base commander, everybody and their brother was out there, because every mission that airplane flew came right down from the president. And everything had to fall in place. There was no asking questions. There was no nothing. It was all about discipline. Guys would run to one airplane and the other. If we had a red ball, man, we'd scramble to get to the next one, because there were lives at stake. Do you understand tonight? There are lives at stake in Christianity. This really is a life or death type of thing. Here it is in Acts chapter 24 and verse 16. This is one of the hardest things you'll now have to do. And therein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense towards God and toward man. What about your conscience? Is it niggling you tonight? Todd's friend, he used to plant flowers. Troy and Todd worked for this old boy, Doug Peachy. Doug Peachy, one day he got a hold of us and he said, now Tom, he said, I want to tell you something. He said, if you have something to bother you in the daytime, he said, it'll be niggling you at night. He said, it'll never let you go. You can look with our, you don't want them nigglings at night. You see, we can look with our eyes and we can play the game. What's going on in our minds? Is your thought life offensive to God? Are you angry at God tonight? Are you unhappy about what He's done with your life? What about other people? What rolls around in your little mind? Let me help you with something tonight. God is not looking at your physical response. He's looking at your heart. He's looking at your mind. And you and I will never fool God. Never, never, never. And the veteran of the faith, they have a disciplined mind. They cast down imaginations. As Philippians would state, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. They exercise that mind to godliness. Oh, they fall. Every Christian falls. But they know. They know they got to get back up. They know it's wrong. They don't get mad when the preacher hits something in their life that's wrong. They get it right. When I was at my first assignment, I also pulled Victor Alert. I can't talk much about that and never will. But I can tell you one thing. Your mind better be in it. The people around you better know your mind's in it. Because there's no second chance. There's no recall. The course of history changes. And sometimes I think tonight that we could never be seen as a veteran of the faith because we have an issue with our mind. We get to their people. We look down at lost people. We get disdain in our lives for things that have happened. But a veteran of the faith, they work their mind. They'll deal with it. And I remember when I took an exam to go into Victor Alert, will you do this? I not only signed the paper, but I was asked verbally in the eyes of a commander. Because your mind better be in it. Number four. They know their enemy. You know what makes America a great country? Our intelligence. Our intelligence. We know what the enemy's doing. Now, I can't talk about Mike, but Mike, you know we know the enemy knows. We know what's going on. We know the enemy. We study the enemy. A veteran of the faith studies the enemy. Can I tell you who your enemy tonight is? It's not a brother or sister in Christ. It's Satan. He's the enemy. Somebody had to remind me of something the other 2-3 weeks ago. They called me on the phone and said, Tom, remember this. They're not the enemy. They're being used by the enemy. Man, I tell you, I had to eat humble pie. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 11. Listen to Paul. Paul proclaims his veteran experience when he says this. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. We are not blindsided by Satan. Can I tell you the number one tool that Satan uses? Anybody know what the number one thing Satan uses? Come on, you can just speak out tonight. We're all... Nope. Lying. That's why Jesus said, you have your father, the devil. He's a liar from the beginning. He's a liar. You know why he uses deception on us? Because we're not smart enough. We don't realize when we're being fed something that's not true. Deception is tied into lying. And Paul said, listen, we're not ignorant of him. Peter writes and he says, listen. He says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And listen, he has devoured a lot of Christians. I bought some furniture here a while back, and I was up looking at Lazy Boy, and there was a young Marine in there. And the first time I went up, he looked all sharp. He looked like a Marine. He had his tape measure on here, and he had his pen in here. And he was telling me all about the Marine Corps. So we went back up to look at something, buying something, and we needed to measure something. I said, where's your tape? I said, where's your pen? You know what he said? He said, an unprepared Marine is a dead Marine. I said, you're right. And he's an unprepared salesman, too. I hit it off with him pretty good. You just don't ever want to get a Marine mad. Because in the Air Force, you have to run. You have to run. But, yeah. Wee. Yeah. That will for... Who did that? I want to know. Who? Okay. All right. I have a very good memory. That's probably what you'd say if you ever flew in one of our airplanes. Wee. Because in the Air Force, you don't fly for creature comfort. I got news for you. You get a free hop to the States, but is everyone for himself? They don't have 6:12. Take this. Look. Here it is. Ephesians chapter 6:12. Take this home with you tonight. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We don't fight each other. But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Don't ever get it confused. Listen, anytime two Christians are at loggerhead, you can be sure Satan is the accuser of the brethren. Right. It takes a bigger person to step back and say, wait a minute, they're not the enemy. They're being manipulated by the enemy. Our veterans from Vietnam will know this, Hanoi Betty. We know who that is. Here's what I'm telling you. A veteran knows not to fight. The criteria for a deacon is not to be a brawler. Boy, there's a lot of them are. And the Christian that really is a veteran, every day they're alert. Every day they're looking. They're going to make sure that Satan doesn't get a hold of them. And when he does, they claim the blood of Christ. Just remember this. If Satan reminds you of your past, remind him of his future. Just remember that. Little girl went to the door one day, a Sunday school illustration, and said when she got to the door, there was Satan. And the Sunday school teacher said, well, what'd you do? She said, well, I went back and got Jesus. Just a story. Anyhow, listen to me. Some of you are fighting the wrong people. You don't realize that the enemy has manipulated you. Did you know that Satan will have you fight yourself? He'll work you over. A veteran knows that fight. A veteran knows the enemy. I've watched things happen to Christians over the years. After 28 and a half years in the pulpit, I can tell you, I watch Christians apart and you go and warn them and pray with them. And they don't get it. Paul said it well. If you think you stand, take heed. Here's the last one. We're out of time. They totally trust their leader. They totally trust their leader. I've done a lot of reading on World War II. I've been privileged to go over to Normandy. I've been to the graveyards and the battlefields and just a lot of these places. I've really been privileged. And these You know, when they say the World War II era was, you know, they were the best era, I believe that. They were an exceptional group of people. And they totally followed their leader. Do you know why that we couldn't back out once the Normandy invasion started? Anybody know why we couldn't back out once that push started and we started losing all those people? Because there was no plan to retreat. Eisenhower and them, after they looked at it, they didn't realize that down at Point du Hoc and at Omaha Beach, things weren't right. And they never, ever planned to retreat. And those guys, listen, they knew when those little scaps were opening the door and they were killing, they kept running out. You go to Point du Hoc, and you can see them, they're climbing with knives all the way up. And Todd said, don't talk about dead people. And listen, they kept shooting them, and I watched a documentary from Germany. One of the guys that was shooting him, he said, his gun turned red, and he looked at his other guy, and he said, listen, he said, I'm running. The bodies were piled high. He said, I'm leaving. He said, I can't do this no more. I watched an interview of him. He's in his late 70s now with tears rolling down his eyes. He said, I've never seen so many dedicated people give their lives. You go to Omaha Beach, and here is the water. You walk down by the water, and up here is the graveyard. Because the leader said, go there. Go there. Here is Brethren, 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 8. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of the trouble which came to us in Asia. Listen, Paul ran into big trouble. That we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we were dispressed even of life. But we had this sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver us. Here it comes. In whom we trust, that he will yet deliver us. What he tells us to do, where he tells us to go, he's in charge. We will follow. Listen, you can never go anywhere God hasn't already been. When I got saved, I remember I got saved just a couple, maybe about 4 or 5 weeks before I left for England. And I remember I was at a church service, and a guy came up and he put his arm on me, and he said, Tom, I want to tell you something. He said, when you get to England, God will be waiting for you. And boy, he was in a big way. Are you following the leader? Do people know that you have a commander that's far above any commander of this world? Where he says, I will follow. Where he tells me, I will go. That's a vet. He'll go. I can't remember quite how it goes anymore, but ours is not to question why. Ours is but to do or die. That's what we were taught. That's Christianity. A vet will go. You don't have to push them. You don't have to bend their arm. You don't have to give them 20 signs. They'll go. They'll follow the leader because they know the leader will never let them down. It says this. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 11, it says this. Persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me in Antioch. Boy, I tell you, there's a place there too. Antioch, Lystrum. Lystrum, what persecutions I endured. Listen to this. But out of them all, the Lord delivered me. He delivered me. And you know what Paul said one day to the church at Corinth? He said, listen, if I die on the altar of sacrifice, so be it. I will joy and rejoice in it. That's what he said. There's one last thing I want to leave you with tonight about our commander. I don't know that there will come a time when America will no longer recognize its vets. I can tell you this much. I remember being stationed in California, and I remember not even being allowed to go off base in uniform because our own countrymen would come after us. And I know when the planes would go into San Francisco, they would make them take their uniforms off and go in civilian clothes. because the vet wasn't appreciated. And the sad thing is the majority of those guys were all drafted. They were there because of duty. You may say to yourself one day, serving God, what's the worth of it? I'm old, I've filled the squares. Nobody cares, nobody knows. Here's a verse to hold on to. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse number 10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed towards his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. He doesn't forget. He just doesn't forget. I know time's really against me. I'm going to give you an illustration. I'm shutting out. When my hip had gone bad, I started to work for a colonel. And they were redesigning the front of a building. All the way to World War II, the building, they had a case. And it was full of trophies and awards that went back all the way to World War II. And I used to stop and read them. And look, and they were very impressive things that had happened. And I remember this colonel come out one day, and one of the sergeants asked him, "Sir, what do you want us to do with all these trophies and all this?" He said, "Throw them away." I thought, throw them away? Here's a guy died over here. Here's an airplane that crashed where they lost a crew. And he's saying, throw it away. He said, "Oh, it's archived in the Air Force." And I thought, how can you do that? Every year, new people come to England. They need to know what happened over there in the bloody 100th. They need to know. They threw it away. I never said nothing, but it never sat right with me. And new people come in. They had no idea the squadron they were in, the sacrifice that was made. Thank God he never forgets. And he'll honor the vet. Here's the light. If this light doesn't shine, will yours? Will somebody be able to identify you without having to turn a light bulb on? Are you hope?
Thank you again for listening to this audio sermon. We pray that it has been a blessing to you. For more sermons, or if you have any questions, log on to www.fbcbelong.com.